13. La Fanice. They had spoken for hours, walking together by the edge of the battlefield, weaving between the barricades and fire bases established by the Iron Warriors Legion. They kept their voices low, watching one another with careful eyes, while any legionary or servitor nearby scattered before their slow path. It seemed clear, in no uncertain terms, that the brothers had no wish to be interrupted. By the time Lorgar left the surface, night had fallen upon the killing fields of Istvan V. The work continued, with Axalion and his cohorts returned to work hours before, lifting the salvage and leaving the scrap. The captain was close enough to witness the brothers finish their discussions, noting that the 17th Primarch's saccharine amusement had abated, as had the anger simmering within his gaze. As for Fulgrim, he seemed similarly dispassionate, adopting neither the familiar smile he usually wore in Lorgar's presence, nor the subtle signs of fraternal condescension that had so thoroughly marked their decades of brotherhood. When the teleport flare faded, Axalion voxed for his waiting Thunderhawk to hold position, and switched communication channels.
"This is Axalion to the Heart of Majesty. Priority request."
The expected delay lasted almost a full minute, before a voice fuzzed back on fragile vox.
"Captain Axalion, priority request acknowledged. How may we illuminate you, sir?" "What is the status on the 49 vessels with word-bearer visitors?"
Again, the delay.
"Fleet reports indicate the 17th Legion is recalling its embarked guests via teleportation."
Ah. Third Legion pride at work. No warship captain would confess to being taken by surprise like that, let alone boarded by those they'd trusted. Embarked guests. Axalion almost grinned. How delightful. He was just about to reply when his battle brother's voice rasped back from the Heart of Majesty in the heavens above.
"Captain Axalion, we are receiving conflicting reports on the Primarch. Where is Lord Fulgrim? The fleet is calling out for immediate visual affirmation of his location."
The captain looked to where the flare of teleportation fog was little more than a disseminating glimmer.
"I had visual confirmation on the Primarch until a few moments ago. Inform the fleet. He teleported with Lorgar."
With morbid curiosity, he listened to the slipstream of voices in conflict across the orbital voxnet. It took almost 5 minutes for sense to break through, and when it did, it wasn't what he'd been expecting.
"This is the flagship to all vessels. The Primarch is aboard. Repeat, this is the pride of the Emperor to Third Legion Fleet. Lord Fulgrim is aboard."
The chamber lay in darkness. It assaulted the other senses to make up for its lack of the most important one. The smell of decay was a raw musk hanging thick in the cold air, and never before had Lorgar considered that absolute silence could have an oppressive presence all its own.
"Lights,"
the Primarch said aloud. His voice echoed dramatically, but nothing answered. "The acoustics in here have always been wonderful," Fulgrim said, and his brother could hear the grin in those words. The word-bearer lifted his fist. A moment's thought wreathed it in heatless, harmless psychic fire. But it was a parasitic luminescence, seeming to eat the darkness rather than banish it. Still, it was enough. Lorgar regarded the devastated theatre. Whatever last performance had taken place here had been one of supreme decadence. Bodies, already gone to rags and bones, slumbered in cadaverous repose across the chairs and aisles. Discarded weapons and broken furniture lay strewn across the scene. Nothing was unmarked by the black stains of old blood.
"I see your legion's pursuit of perfection does not extend to cleanliness," Lorgar said softly.
Fulgrim grinned again. He could see it now, his brother's teeth oranged by the amber witchlight.
"This is holy ground, Lorgar. You of all souls should respect that."
Lorgar turned and moved on, walking over the bodies toward the stage.
"You are the puppet slave of a single god. I am the archpriest of all of them. Do not tell me what I should respect."
The stage was riven by damage and darkened by shed blood. Both Primarchs ascended the steps to the platform itself, their ceramite boots forcing the reinforced wooden boards to creak and whine.
"There it is."
Fulgrim gestured behind the thin silk curtain. Lorgar had already seen it. He brushed the gauzy veil aside with the gentle push of a man moving an unbroken spider's web. The Phoenician. The painting stole his breath for a long moment, and he was complicit in his awe, glad to let it do so. Few works of art had moved him as this one did. Fulgrim, triumphant in this rendering, wore his most ostentatious suit of armour, as much imperial gold as Third Legion purple. He stood before the immense Phoenix Gate, leading into the Heliopolis chamber on board his flagship, a vision of gold against even richer gold. At his shoulders, reaching out in angelic symmetry, the great fiery pinions of a phoenix cast burning light against his armour, lighting the gold to flame-touched platinum and enriching the purple to a deep Tyrian hue. All of this, from the look of haunting purity in the pale eyes to the last and least strand of white hair, was formed from a mortal's craft. To stare with a Primarch's eyes, even from this respectful distance, showed the faint topography of brushstrokes across the canvas. Only the most divine muse could inspire mortal hands to create such a masterpiece.
"My brother," Lorgar whispered, "what a man you were. A paragon among wolves and wastrels."
"He always enjoyed flattery," Fulgrim smiled. "Do you so quickly forget how he sneered at you, Lorgar? Does his disregard slip from your memory so fast?"
"No."
The word-bearer shook his head, as if reinforcing the denial.
"But he had every right to think less of me, for I was never whole. Not until now."
The thing wearing Fulgrim's skin peeled back its lips in a smile the true Primarch would never have made.
"You asked to see your brother, Chosen One. Here he is."
"This is a painting. Do not mock me, demon. Not after we at last reached an accord."
"You asked to see the brother you had lost."
The smile didn't leave Fulgrim's face.
"I have upheld my end of our agreement."
Lorgar was already reaching for the Crozius on his back.
"Peace, Chosen One."
Fulgrim held up his hands.
"The painting. Look longer. Look deeper. Tell me what you see."
Lorgar turned again and stared at the exquisite masterwork. This time, he let his eyes slip across the image, seeking no details, merely drifting until they rested where they may. He met the image's soulfully rendered eyes, and at last, Lorgar breathed through the faintest of smiles.
"Hail, brother," he finally said. "Do you see?"
the demon at his side asked. For a moment, for those three words, it wasn't Fulgrim's voice at all.
"I see more than you realize."
The word-bearer turned to face his brother's captor.
"If you think to relish all of eternity while playing puppeteer to my brother's bones, you will find yourself fatally disappointed one night."
"You speak the lies of a desperate and foolish soul."
Lorgar laughed with a rare and sincere grin, perhaps the only expression that ever broke his resemblance to his father.
"Your secret is safe with me, demon. Enjoy your stewardship while it lasts."
He gave Fulgrim's shoulder a comradely slap and walked through the aisle still decorated with corpses, chuckling as he left the graveyard theatre. When he closed the door, he took the witchlight with him, leaving Fulgrim and the painting together in the darkness. Outside the doors, Argyll Tal waited with his honour guard. Most of the Legion had repainted their armour in the same crimson as the Gal Vorbach, another sign of the changing times. Each of these warriors wore Betrayer's red.
"Sire,"
Argyll Tal greeted him. The horns on his helm lowered as the legionary nodded. Lorgar felt the palpable heat of the man's twin souls, one living, one parasitically leeching from the first in imitation of life, replacing its theft with a symbiotic flood of power. Harmonious. Pure. Divine. This was the unity of chaos, when flesh and spirit met.
"My son, tonight we convene the Council of Sanctity, and I will speak once more of Kalth. Then, in the hours that follow,
I will summon you and your most trusted subcommanders. After the Council of Sanctity has dispersed, I will speak to you not only of Kalth, but of what follows it. The warrior hesitated before speaking.
I do not understand, Lord. I know, but you will.
There is a great difference between glory and sacrifice, Argal Tal. Sometimes fate takes care of itself. In those times, you may follow your heart and do whatever you will. You may chase the glory you seek, and other times, destiny needs the courage and blood of mankind to force it through to a better future. Even at the cost of passion and vengeance, even at the cost of a glory most highly deserved, we all make sacrifices, my son.
Argal Tal bristled, though he sought to hide his offense from his Primarch's eyes.
I would like to believe I know enough of sacrifice already, my lord.
Lorgar conceded with a nod.
That is why I turn to you with the truth this evening, and not Corferan or Erebus. You, like me, have looked into the gods' eyes, and you, like me, have other wars to fight, even as the Kalth system burns.